Will members please vote to signify their presence? All members voted. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 senators present this morning. Senators Bennett, Bierenkamp, Gilman, Ray, and Sackett are excused from the call of the Senate today.
We stand for the invocation.
You who are the living God, we turn to you this morning to give you our thanks, to seek your favor. Thank you, O Lord, for the great resources of this state, for its beauty, for the people who make Alaska their home. We thank you for those public-spirited people who labor to improve and to enrich the living of us all through competitive events, community service, often at great cost to themselves. O Lord, look with favor upon those who are invested with the power of legislative decision. Bless the members of this Senate. Give them the vision, courage, the commitment necessary to guide and to help Alaskans. May they use their resources wisely. Give all present a great sensitivity to the relationships between people, states, nations. May their accomplishments be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, bless the members of this Senate. Amen.
Secretary, certify as correctness of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 72nd legislative day.
President, floor leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 72nd legislative day be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Joseph.
In the gallery behind me is a gentleman I consider a friend. He's one of Alaska's finest trial lawyers. I had the privilege of being associated with him once in some major litigation, Mr. Charlie Cole.
Charlie, would you introduce your partner?
This is my associate in law practice of law in Fairbanks, Edward Noonan.
Well, pleased to meet you. Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10, designating Festival Fairbanks as the entity responsible for producing a radio and television simulcast to begin the celebration of the 25th anniversary of statehood, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Ferguson, acting chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. SCR 10 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on calendar.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 4, repealing the requirement that an applicant for a beverage dispensary license file a bond, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass, and they attach a zero fiscal note. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Sturdulewski, and Rohde. SB 4 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 7, appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for local service roads and trails, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Ferguson, acting chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. SB 7 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on the calendar.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 51, establishing the Shuyak Island State Park, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Ferguson, acting chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, and Vic Fisher. Senator Fakes signed no recommendation. SB 51 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 66 relating to municipal self-insurance for workers' compensation, and the committee recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute and reports it back as follows with a new title. Senator Elias and Chairman signed do pass. Senator Rohde and Senator Mulcahy signed no recommendation. SB 66 has a further referral to Finance. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 67, relocation of utility facilities incident to the construction of highway projects by a municipality. Reports back as follows. Senator Ferguson, chairman, and Senator Sackett signed no recommendation. Senator Halford signed to pass. SB 67 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill number 128, establishing certain areas as marine park units of the Alaska State Park System, and recommends do pass with the committee substitute and with a majority do pass. Signed Senator Ferencamp, chairman, concurring Senators Vic Fisher, Paul Fisher, Mulcahy, and Sturgiluski. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation. SB 128 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 132, establishing the Alaska Administrative Journal, and recommends be replaced with a committee substitute, a majority do pass, and a new fiscal note. Signed Senator Vic Fisher, chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Sturgiluski, and Rohde. Senator Ray signed do not pass. SB 132 has a further referral to finance. The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill number 136 relating to the operation of stationary fishing gear and recommends do pass with a committee substitute. Signed Senator Ferencamp, chairman, concurring Senators Vic Fisher, Paul Fisher, Ziegler, Mulcahy, and Sturgiluski. SB 136 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 149, supplemental appropriation for the 1982 permanent fund dividend, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass. Signed Senator Ferguson, acting chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Joseph, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. SB 149 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considers Senate Bill number 186, named recipient grants, and reports back as follows. Senator Ferguson, chairman, and Senator Sackett signed do pass. Senator Halford signed no recommendation. SB 186 has a further referral to finance. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 190, special appropriations for payments as grants for the Wrangell Totem Poles and Chief Shakes Island Preservation and Restoration Project, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed Senator Vic Fisher, chairman, concurring Senators Sturgiluski, Rohde, and Ray. Senator Kelly signed no recommendation. SB 190 has a further referral to finance. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 194 relating to ICE Classics and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title, a majority do pass, and a zero fiscal note. Signed Senator Vic Fisher, chairman, concurring Senator Sturgiluski and Rohde. Signing no recommendation were Senators Kelly and Ray. SB 194 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered House Bill number 108, inclusion in the state exempt service of licensed physicians employed by the Division of Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities, Department of Health and Social Services, and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Ferguson, acting chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. House Bill 108 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 131, providing for immunity from civil liability for certain persons who render services in response to a disaster relief operation, and recommends that it be calendared on March 30. Signed Senator Fakes, chairman, concurring Senator Ray and Senator Ferguson. This is on today's calendar, and those are the standing committee reports.
You have the floor, Senator Rohde.
May we stand at ease for a moment?
We'll be at ease.
I might be time the
introduction of guests. Senator Moss?
Might we have another brief at ease, sir?
Yes.
Order.
I'd request that we return the introduction of guests, and I see in the corner a visitor from the island of Molokai. He's with the Hawaiian Department of Agriculture, and his name is Glenn Sakamoto. We welcome you here, Glenn. Takes us down to communications, standing committees. Are there any reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports today.
There are resolutions for introduction.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 14 by Senator Curtula requesting the governor to declare May 29, 1983, Governor George A. Parks Day in honor of the 100th birthday of George A. Parks.
I wonder if it shouldn't be introduced by all members of the Senate. I'm not trying to pressure. Senator Victor Fisher.
I so move, Mr. President.
Without objection, please show that by all members of the Senate, period, Secretary of the Senate. It was a communication to me for introduction. Goes to the Rules Committee.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 23 by Senator Ziegler and Curtula by request relating to the establishment of a sister state relationship with Taiwan.
State Affairs Committee.
Those are the new resolutions.
There are bills for first reading and reference.
Senate Bill Number 218 by Senators Vic Fisher, Curtula, Sackett, Josephson, Ferguson, Eliason, Rohde, Moss, Bennett, Behrenkamp, Ray, and Sturgiluski. An act relating to the disclosure of information.
State Affairs.
Senate Bill Number 219 by Senators Bennett and Behrenkamp. An act relating to the processing of permits by state agencies and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 220 by Senators Josephson, Curtula, Fakes, Ferguson, Vic Fisher, and Mulcahy. An act establishing the Capital Projects Advisory Commission.
State Affairs and Finance.
Those are the new bills.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Will the Secretary read Senate Bill 131 by title?
Senate Bill Number 131 by Senators Moss, Behrenkamp, and Ziegler, an act providing for immunity from civil liability for certain persons who render service in response to a disaster relief operation and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, Eliason, and Pettyjohn. There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments, Senator Josephson.
Mr. President, in the absence of amendments, I move that the bill be considered engrossed advance to third reading.
Ask unanimous consent.
Ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 131, an act providing for immunity from civil liability for certain persons who render service in response to a disaster relief operation and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill 131 is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Moss has the floor.
Mr. President, this legislation is introduced to prevent a possible problem which could arise if a private citizen, either as an individual or as a private company, was pressed into service because of a disaster and at the request of a government official or an agent of the government. Under present law, if an individual were to provide such a service, even acting in good faith, Mr. President, he personally could be held liable for damage costs. As you are undoubtedly aware, most disaster assistance operations depend upon quick and effective mobilization of the community's resources. Increasing litigation and the potential liability resulting therefrom makes it extremely important, Mr. President, that we minimize the impact of any lawsuits arising out of any disaster assistance operation. Persons providing disaster assistance should not be held to the same standard of care as persons performing the same operations under normal circumstances. It would be certainly a sorry state of affairs, Mr. President, if a person failed to render disaster assistance when needed solely because of fear of legal liability. I would hope that the members of this body would, perhaps it isn't a Good Samaritan bill, but in a sense it is. You know, a lot of times doctors fail, and I don't blame them a bit, to take care of an emergency on the roadside because of the possibility of legal action against them. Perhaps this may not be a Good Samaritan bill in that sense, but it relates to it, sir. And I'd appreciate unanimous consent.
Senator Rohde.
President, I share my distinguished colleague from Delta Junction's concern over the Good Samaritan aspect of the bill. There's one side concern I have that is covered by the language of the bill, and that is if the state pays for equipment, helicopters, trucks, other kinds of equipment, it really, and it's paid for by taxpayers' money, the taxpayers really have less legal protection than a private company would in this circumstance. For example, if that equipment fails, even though the taxpayers have paid for it, any recovery is limited. And while I share the concern that the senator has, I'm also concerned about lessening the liability requirements for some people while keeping them at the same level for another. I'm going to vote for this bill because I think there are some very good aspects to it, particularly in a disaster, but I am going to take a close look at it and see if there are any ways that the bill might be improved as we take a further look at the process. Thank you, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator Pat Johnson.
Just to respond briefly, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, excuse me, just to the senator from Midtown Anchorage's concerns, this bill only is addressed to an occasion where there is death or injury or damage to property by virtue of the provision of equipment or services in an emergency by the private sector. If the equipment that's provided, if it's a helicopter that doesn't work, the state won't have to pay for it. That's not the subject matter of the bill. It's only when injury or damage to property results as a result of use of equipment that in this set of circumstances, we're going to require a higher standard of proof to hold this provider of services liable. And I think it's a good bill, and I think the language in it limits its application sufficiently so that the concerns that have been expressed are addressed. Thank you.
Senator Joseph?
I think it's a good bill. It only operates during a declared state of emergency, and that's the time when the governor or the local government official who declares the emergency is really asking all Alaskans to pull together and help one another. And in that spirit, if someone responds to that call, he or she shouldn't be in jeopardy, as might be the case under other circumstances, unless there is gross negligence or intentional or reckless wrongdoing. I think it's reasonable, and I think it will encourage people to respond to emergency calls from the governor of Alaska.
Senator Ziegler.
Have we heard from all the attorneys yet, Mr. President?
I believe you make the list up.
Thank you, sir. We put in a great deal of time on this bill in Senate Judiciary, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good bill, as a matter of fact, and I urge we pass it. Let's get on with our business.
Question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 131 pass the Senate? Questions called for. You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas and 5 excused.
Senate Bill 131 has passed the Senate. Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Senate Bill 131 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection. Roll call. The effective date clause has been adopted. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citations saluting the North American Championship sled dog races by Senators Sackett, Fahrenkamp, and Bennett. A citation in memoriam Arnold J. Martins by Representatives Furness, Hayes, and all other members of the House, and Senators Sturgiluski, Fakes, and Halford. In memoriam Hardy King by Representatives Bussell, Schultz, Hayes, Liska, and Cato, and Senators Moss, Mulcahy, and Sturgiluski.
Senator Joseph, Senator Rohde.
If there's to be remarks made, I will speak.
Senator Rohde.
Thank you, Senator Joseph. I would move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the Martin citation.
Senator Kelly.
President, I would make the same request.
Without objection. Senator Joseph, you have the floor.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation calendar as read, Mr. President.
Without objection, citation calendar has been approved. Takes us to unfinished business this morning. There are items under unfinished business. Are there announcements of committee meetings? Are there announcements, Senator Victor Fisher?
Mr. President, there will not be a State Affairs meeting at 1:30 today.
State Affairs Committee has been canceled. You have the floor, Senator.
Finance Committee be meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30. Committee's substitute for Senate Bill 18 will continue prior to discussion of the Organized Research University of Alaska.
You have the floor, Senator Elias.
Mr. President, Labor and Commerce will meet at 1:30 in the room 11, 211, the Belts Room, to discuss House Bill 15 relating to commercial fishing loans.
Rules, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Rules Committee will meet today at 12:30 in the Belts Room, and I need a quorum, gentlemen, so those of you who are members of the Rules Committee, please come. I passed out the agenda of the Rules Committee for today on everybody's desk, and I'd like to add Senate Concurrent Resolution 10, which is the Festival Fairbanks Resolution, Senate Bill 7, which is an appropriation for local service roads and trails, Senate Bill 51, which is the Shiak Island State Park Bill, and Senate Bill 149, which is a supplemental appropriation for 1982 permanent fund dividends.
Senator Joseph?
Mr. President, at 3 p.m. today, the Hess Committee will take up a variety of bills, all the bills in the Senate, concerning the student loan program for those senators who are interested.
3 p.m.?
Yes.
Further announcement of committee meetings? Items under special orders. Senator Moss.
Mr. President, I'd request the privilege of the floor to discuss violations of state laws.
You have the floor. There's no objection.
Mr. President, I must say I'm delighted with the Commissioner, Department of Transportation, Public Facilities contentions that the Latouche Island project would probably be built because it is the law of the state. It may or may not be a good project, but the fact that it is on the law books mandates that the administration will do it unless the legislature rewrites the law and says no. I'm pleased, Mr. President, that the Commissioner of DOT Public Facilities is following the law's directions. And I might point out why this came about. In the Anchorage Daily News, on Tuesday, March the 29th, there was an article in there that stated that the harbor at Latouche likely, official says, the Sheffield administration may be forced to build the controversial Latouche Island boat harbor, according to Dan Casey, Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Casey said Monday, a final decision is still some weeks away, but it appears in the absence of a finding that the project was underfunded, that Governor Bill Sheffield has no choice but to build. The administration is like the director of a corporation. I quote, Mr. President, he said, the legislature, which is like the directors, voted to spend the money, and the governor, former Governor Jay Hammond, that is, signed it. Casey said the only other thing that could keep the project from being built would be further action by the legislature redirecting the money to some other project, and the ball is in their court, he said. It's important that the public understands that the governor, if he proceeds with the project, would be doing so because of the legislative mandate. And that's important to recognize that fact, Mr. President. When asked what he thought of the project, Casey said that it's not a bad project, but there is a question of whether it's about the location and whether it's the best use of the money. If we, the Sheffield administration, had the opportunity to introduce the project, it's not clear that we would have chosen Latouche. Casey said, and this is important too, Mr. President, Casey said he realized the administration may be criticized if the project is allowed to continue, but it could also be criticized for refusing to build a project that was legislatively mandated. On the other side of the coin, Mr. President, I stood on this floor a number of times and spoke to the fact that the administration and some commissioners are not following the law. It's too bad. The Commissioner of Commerce does not have the same respect for the law, namely the Seward Terminal deep sixing debacle. I said, as I noted earlier, on this floor that the Commissioner of Commerce is violating the law by refusing to accept the fact that, good or bad, the construction of the Seward facility was mandated by the legislature and executive branch. I might also point out, Mr. President, that the state courts have joined into it and, in a sense, have stated that the project or the facility should be constructed. I might be finished by saying, Mr. President, that the Commissioner of Transportation has demonstrated that he should be favorably considered for confirmation, especially in view of the fact he's attempting to follow the laws of the state. Commissioner of Commerce, Mr. President, I might note, for his failure to abide by the state laws, should be deep sixed, just like he did to the Seward facility. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I have special privilege of the floor to discuss the bill introduced this morning.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, there is at the Secretary's desk Senate Bill 219, which I sponsored with other senators, 220, pardon me, concerning the Capital Projects Advisory Council. I would invite other senators to look at that bill, ask that the bill lie at the senator at the Secretary's desk until noon for that purpose. It's a very short bill. It simply creates a body of 16 people, 8 of whom would be selected by the governor and 8 by the legislature, including 4 members of the House and Senate, to conduct interim work, including public hearings. There would be public members of the body. Four of those public members would be selected by the President and Speaker of the House to conduct public hearings on capital projects and attempt to prepare for each January, when we come here, a list in the most rational way possible of capital projects priorities for our consideration. The function is advisory only. It does not impair the executive authority or the legislative authority, but it is designed to create a partnership between the branches of government for the first time in the planning process, in which we would be equal partners. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President, I request the privilege of the floor to talk about telephone rates.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, despite what we were told last year, a wonderful thing has happened in the area of long-distance telephone rates, and that is that we are seeing competition for the first time as far as any of us can probably remember. And the result is that long-distance telephone rates are going down, and Alaskans are going to benefit. GCI came along and started service 4 months ago. A week ago, Alaskom lowered the discount for nighttime, or increased the discount for nighttime calls, so that long-distance calls placed at night are much lower now. Along now comes a reduction by Alaskom of its Watts rates. GCI has responded by reducing its discount for its rates for nighttime calls. So I think that we're all benefiting. The main point here, Mr. President, is that the whole concept of competition and deregulation is working, and I hope that we can apply the same to other areas, including the field of transportation. Thank you.
Very good. Senator Mulcahy has the floor.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to introduction of guests. I see a friend in the gallery.
Objection to order.
Mr. President, it gives me pleasure to introduce to the Senate this morning the Mayor of Larson, today, Mr. Frank Carlson.
Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President, on the introduction of guests in the opposite gallery is a very distinguished gentleman who is a professor with the University of Alaska. A doctor who has a physician who has the distinction of being the first Alaska Native medical doctor, period. And I think we're very fortunate to have him here. He's working on some marvelous programs, new ideas. I'd like to introduce Professor Dr. Ted Molley.
We welcome you here this morning. Senator Joseph.
President, if there's no other business, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate adjourn until 10 a.m. March 31, 1983.